Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Cao et al. Titled EET Intervention on WNT1, NAV, and HO1 Signaling Prevents Obesity-Induced Cardiomyopathy in Obese Mice. This article was published online June 2, 2017. Joining me today are consulting editor David Gutterman, lead author Nadir Abraham, and content expert Kevin Delsperger. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. I'm excited to be here with Nadir and Kevin to discuss Nadir's very interesting paper with its potential ramifications for the treatment of heart failure. This paper is part of a special call for papers around the topic of basic research with translational implications for the therapy of heart failure. And in that paper, Dr. Abraham's group from New York Medical College shows that the well-established beneficial effects of epoxyisocyanoic acids, or EETs, on the vasculature also extend to the myocardium by attenuating obesity-induced cardiomyopathy. A novel pathway was found that mediates this benefit, leading to a reduction in fasting glucose levels, pro-inflammatory adipokines, and an improvement in cardiac function. The study has direct relevance to heart failure. Nadir, can you summarize for us the main novel findings of your study and the components of the pathway that lead to this protective response?
Thank you very much for this beautiful introduction about the paper. EET is a regulator of NAV, which itself act as a pro-inflammatory molecules and a negative regulator of cardiac function and a potentiator of pericardial function and decreases left ventricle function. This is a new function for EET. Whether directly or indirectly, EET is considered upstream of NAV. Secondly, EET increases PGC1 alpha, HO1, thermogenic genes, UCP1, SIRT1, and SIRT3, as well as PRMD16. EET increases PGC1 alpha, H1 adiponectin. The increase of adiponectin is essential since it increases insulin sensitivity and decreases glucose intolerance seen in untreated mice. Insulin sensitivity also is blocked by PGC1 alpha deficiency. In other words, EET is upstream of PGC1 alpha as well as upstream of NAV. Inhibition of PGC1 alpha prevent EET in mediated increase of insulin or effect on adiponectin. Downregulation of NAV is associated with a reduction of local inflammatory cytokine, unlike effect of visceral fat, which is systematic. This local inflammatory cytokine coupled with increase of mitochondrial function and diminution of ROS. EET increases WNT and beta-catenin, resulted in the reprogramming of visceral or epicardial fat to be brown-like fat that display PGC1 alpha, mitochondrial biogenesis, thermogenic gene, and increased left ventricle function and contractility and increased fractional shortening. That's the main point which is we have in the paper.
Kevin, what do you see as the role for arachidonic acid metabolites in the modulation of cardiac function, especially through NAV signaling? How do these findings that Nadir talked to us about help us to better understand fundamental processes involved in cardiomyopathy?
Thank you, David. I believe that what Nadir was talking about largely gets at the heart of the matter as it comes to developing an excitation contraction coupling mechanism to improve or make worse ventricular function. In the disease states that Nadir and his group were looking at, we saw significant reduction in cardiac function as performed by in vivo echo, most notably with the administration of EET-A, we saw dramatic improvement in that cardiac function, seemingly signaled through a downregulation of NAV. This really can promote incredible opportunity for a targeted therapy in the treatment of heart failure, in particular in cardiometabolic type heart failure and obesity-related heart failure.
Nadir, the EETA is an inhibitor of soluble epoxide hydrolase, and that's what was used to raise levels of EETS in your study. Does it raise all the four biologically active regioisomers similarly, or is there preferential activation of one over the other?
You raise a very important point, David. The effect of EET as an inhibitor of soluble oxide hydrolase enhances, I assume, all EETs, all four isomers EET required. Total EETs is increased after treatment with EETA. However, to answer important to your point, which is very crucial, I think when you prevent PGC1-alpha expression, EETA, which is not metabolized, but the endogenous EET are influences by inhibition of PGC1-alpha. So it seems that PGC1-alpha still, maybe seems to me that EET are increased when EET agonist being given. So the effect is correct, that all of isomer possibly are increased.
Nadir, would you expect a similar benefit of cytochrome P450-2J2 overexpression in heart failure to attenuate insulin resistance and restore glucose tolerance and reduce inflammation?
That's another important question, Kevin. It's possibly can work that 2J2 can attenuate that, but there's a major problem here in whether heart failure or obesity or diabetes or other cardiovascular disease, this elevation of ROS. Reactive Ox species is a major determinant how much you can degrade EETs. So they may work if it's in combination with inhibitor of ROS. If the level of, if EET itself, which is increases HO1 and that prevent ROS, then definitely will work. But I have not tested and not sure if the author of the journal have measured HO1 expression or measure ROS formation during their treatment. I'm not familiar if they have done or not done. If EET is sufficient enough to reduce oxidative stress, then it can work. If it doesn't, then you may need additional inducer of combination of statin, for example, or something else can reduce ROS. And then definitely the 2G2 will work very well.
Thank you. Kevin, in your work, you've studied the beneficial effect of EETS in the microcirculation. A lot of people have speculated that the microcirculation is critical for the development of several forms of heart failure. Do you think that this benefit contributes to the overall improvement seen in this current model of heart failure, i.e., do you think it could be a microcirculatory problem as well as cardiac?
David, that's a wonderful question and observation. As you know, a number of years ago, we found the family of EETS, regardless of isoform, to be among the most potent vasodilators of the coronary microcirculation. And as I read the paper, I raised that same question in my own mind. Is this a vascular or a non-vascular function? As I looked at it, I think it's probably a little of both. In order to deliver the important nutrients, vasodilation is, of course, very helpful. But I really think the primary effects are likely through these signaling pathways that Nadir and his group have identified, the downregulation of NAV as well as the increase in the Wnt pathway, I think are important, and their interrelationship with PGC1-alpha. So while I think the vasodilatory is perhaps contributory, I don't think it's the main effect, as I'm starting to understand the multipotential effects of these compounds in signaling.
Thank you, Kevin. Nadir, could you elaborate on the role for and the changes seen in the pericardial fat in terms of the actions of EETS?
Both visceral fat and epicardial fat are decreased with EET. And the mechanism of decrease is being done in vitro culture and in certain other model. But in this case, is EET by increasing PGC1 alpha and HO1, well, increase the HO1 via PGC1 alpha, upstream PGC1 alpha. And that combine both to reprogram visceral and epicardial fat to become beige-like or brown-like cell that expresses more adiponectin, expresses less adipogenic marker, and maintain the cells in pre-terminal differentiation state. In other words, it changed the phenotype of the adipocyte in epicardial fat, which is, I think, is very important in this situation. When you change the precardial fat to become brown-like, that's a very significant on contractility, left ventricle function, because they're producing more adiponectin, more ROS, and more thermogenic gene is needed. I hope this answered the questions.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. Thank you very much. Nadir, another question. Inhibition of PGC1 alpha blocked the beneficial effect of the soluble epoxide hydrolase inhibitor. That suggests that PGC1 alpha is downstream of EETS in terms of the signaling pathway. You've mentioned it before. Therefore, would you expect compounds like alpha lipoic acid or ZLN, which upregulate PGC1 alpha, to improve cardiac function in heart failure in mice?
Well, this is definitely true. They may upregulate PGC1 alpha. PGC1 alpha increases the HO1, and that will take care of reactive oxygen species and free radical generated from NADPH oxidase or mitochondria, ROS, or any other function. So HO1 expression will improve mitochondrial functionality and prevent release ROS or attenuate release of ROS. So I think it will work.
Nadir and Kevin, I want to thank you for a really great discussion of this paper that identifies a novel and potentially druggable pathway responsible for a lot of the pathophysiological features of obesity-induced cardiomyopathy. Thank you again.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.